Welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most powerful and emotionally complex poems in the anthology, Kamikaze by Beatrice Garland. Whether you're studying for AQA, EDUCAS, or another board, this episode will give you everything you need to write a top band response. We'll cover the poem's key themes, Garland's methods, exam tips, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz. Let's get started. So, first things first, what is this poem actually about? The title Kamikaze refers to Japanese suicide pilots in World War II who were ordered to fly their planes directly into enemy ships, sacrificing their own lives for their country and their emperor. The word itself means divine wind in Japanese, but here's the crucial thing that many candidates miss in the exam. This poem is not about a pilot who completes his mission, it's about a pilot who turns back. He chooses life over duty, and that single act of defiance, that moment of conscience, costs him everything. Garland imagines the story through the voice of the pilot's daughter, who is narrating what her mother told her. This layered, indirect narration is one of the poem's most sophisticated structural features, and we'll come back to it. But for now, hold on to the central idea. The poem explores what happens when a person chooses to live in a culture that demands he die. The consequences are devastating. Not death, but something Garland presents as arguably worse. Total social erasure. Now let's explore the key themes in detail because this is where your marks live. The first and most important theme is the conflict between duty and personal conscience. The pilot sets off on his mission. We're told he had strapped himself in and started up the engines. These details suggest commitment, preparation, purpose. But then something happens. He sees the sea, he sees the fish, he sees the world as it is, alive, beautiful, teeming with meaning. Garland uses extraordinary natural imagery here to show us what pulls him back. The dark shoals of fishes, flashing silver. That phrase is worth spending time on in the exam. The word flashing suggests sudden, brilliant, almost electric life. The fish are alive in a way that the pilot's mission is not. They are free, moving, natural. And crucially, they remind him of his childhood, of fishing with his father, of belonging to the living world. Garland is suggesting that nature itself becomes a counterargument to the ideology of sacrifice. The second major theme is the power of nature. Throughout the poem, Garland uses the natural world not just as a backdrop, but as an active force. The sea, the fish, the tuna, the dark prince, muscular, dangerous, these images are rich and layered. The tuna is described with almost regal language. It is powerful, sovereign, alive. There's something almost mythological about it. And notice the contrast. The pilot has been told his purpose is to be a weapon to be used and discarded. But nature presents a different kind of power, one that is self-determined, enduring, and magnificent. Garland seems to be arguing that the instinct to live is more powerful, more natural, more truthful than any ideology. The third theme is shame and ostracism, and this is where the poem becomes truly heartbreaking. When the pilot returns home, he is not welcomed, he is not forgiven, he is not even acknowledged. His wife, his children, his community, they all treat him as if he no longer exists. She said, "He never spoke to us again, as though he had died." That final simile is devastating. He is treated as dead even though he is alive. In fact, his survival has made him, in the eyes of his culture, worse than dead. He has brought dishonor. And what makes this even more painful is the voice telling us this. It's his own daughter. She is confessing her own complicity in his erasure. The poem implicates not just the community, but the family and even the reader. The fourth theme is memory and silence. The poem is told retrospectively. The daughter is looking back, trying to understand what happened. There is a quality of haunted recollection throughout. The silence that surrounds the father is not just social, it becomes a kind of death of memory. He is erased from the family's story. And yet, the poem itself is an act of recovery. By telling this story, the daughter is, in some sense, restoring him. Garland seems to be asking, what do we owe the dead? What do we owe those who chose life? Now let's talk about Garland's methods. This is your AO2, and it's worth around 30 to 40% of your marks. Structure and form are crucial here. The poem is written in free verse. There is no regular rhyme scheme and no consistent meter. This is significant. The lack of rigid structure mirrors the pilot's decision to break free from the rigid structure of duty and sacrifice. He refuses to follow the prescribed pattern, and the poem's form reflects that refusal. The stanzas are relatively long and flowing, which creates a sense of the pilot's journey, both physical and psychological, unfolding gradually. The most important structural feature is the shift in narrative perspective. For most of the poem, the daughter narrates in the third person, he, his father, the pilot. She is describing events from a distance as if recounting a story she has been told. But in the final stanza, the perspective shifts. She says, she said, referring to her mother, and then, he never spoke to us again. The us suddenly includes the narrator herself. She is no longer a detached observer, she is a participant in the silence. The shift is deeply unsettling. It forces us to recognize that the daughter too has been complicit in her father's erasure. It's a moment of painful self-awareness, and Garland engineers it through a subtle but devastating pronoun shift. Enjambment is used throughout the poem to create a sense of momentum and flow. Lines run on without pause, mimicking the pilot's flight, his memories washing over him, his thoughts cascading. When Garland does use a pause, a full stop, a line break, it carries enormous weight. The silence in the poem's structure echoes the silence imposed on the father. The imagery of the sea and fish deserves particular attention. The dark shoals of fishes flashing silver. This is a moment of pure sensory beauty in the poem. The word shoal suggests community, movement, collective life. The fish are together. They belong. The pilot, by contrast, is alone in his plane, separated from the world below. The silver flash is almost like a signal, nature calling to him, reminding him of what he would be leaving behind. Later, the tuna, the dark prince, muscular, dangerous, elevates the natural world to something almost mythic. The tuna is described with the language of royalty and power. It is not diminished by the war. It simply exists, magnificent and indifferent. This contrast between the grandeur of nature and the smallness of human ideology is central to the poem's argument. Now let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes, because this is where students lose marks unnecessarily. Common mistake number one, assuming the pilot was shot down or forced to turn back. He was not. He made a choice. This is absolutely fundamental to the poem's meaning. Garland is exploring voluntary defiance, not failure. If you write that he couldn't complete his mission, you will lose marks for misreading the poem. Common mistake number two, describing the children as unsympathetic. The children's behavior, ignoring their father, treating him as if he doesn't exist, is not presented as simple cruelty. It is presented as the result of enormous social and cultural pressure. They have been taught that honor matters more than love. Garland is critiquing the system that produces this behavior, not the individuals caught within it. Strong candidates will explore this complexity. Common mistake number three, focusing only on the pilot's decision without linking it to the poem's broader themes. The decision to turn back is the trigger, but the poem is really about what happens afterwards. The silence, the shame, the erasure. Make sure your analysis covers the full arc of the poem. Exam tip number one, always embed your quotations. Don't write, the poet uses the metaphor of the tuna. Write the metaphor of the dark prince, muscular, dangerous, elevates the natural world to something almost mythic, suggesting that nature possesses a sovereignty that human ideology cannot match. See the difference? The second version embeds the quote, names the technique, and analyzes the effect. That's what level 5 and 6 responses look like. Exam tip number two, use the word Garland rather than the poet or the writer. Naming the author shows you are engaging with the poem as a crafted, intentional work, not just a text that appeared from nowhere. Exam tip number three, when discussing context, Integrate it into your analysis rather than bolting it on at the end. Don't write a separate paragraph saying, "In World War II, Japan had a culture of honor." Instead, weave it in. Garland draws on the historical context of Japanese Bushido, the warrior code of honor, to show how cultural ideology can override even the most fundamental human instinct for self-preservation. Exam tip number 4, consider alternative interpretations. A feminist reading might focus on the fact that it is the women, the wife, the daughter, who enforce the silence. They are both victims of patriarchal cultural expectations and enforcers of them. A post-colonial reading might consider how Western perspectives on Japanese culture have shaped the poem's reception. Examiners reward candidates who can hold multiple interpretations simultaneously. Now, for our quickfire recall quiz, I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, and then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What does the word kamikaze mean in Japanese? Think about it. The answer is divine wind. Question 2. What does the pilot see in the sea that makes him turn back? Think. He sees the dark shoals of fishes flashing silver, the natural world alive and beautiful. Question 3. How does the narrative perspective shift in the final stanza? Think. The poem moves from third-person narration to first-person as the daughter reveals she was part of the silence. Question 4. What is the effect of the free verse form? Think. It mirrors the pilot's rejection of rigid duty. The poem, like the pilot, refuses to follow a prescribed pattern. Question 5. Name one technique Garland uses to present the power of nature. Think. The metaphor of the dark prince, muscular, dangerous, to describe the tuna, elevating nature to something regal and sovereign. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread the relevant section of this episode. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points to take into your exam. 1. Kamikaze is about a pilot who chooses to turn back from his suicide mission. This is a voluntary act of conscience, not failure. 2. The poem's central tension is between duty and personal conscience, with nature acting as the force that tips the balance. 3. The consequences of the pilot's choice are social erasure. He is treated as if he had died, which Garland presents as a devastating critique of cultural ideology. 4. The shift from third person to first person in the final stanza implicates the daughter and the reader in the silence. 5. Key techniques include free verse, enjambment, natural imagery, the metaphor of the tuna, and the layered narrative voice. 6. Always link your analysis to the poem's themes, duty, nature, shame, memory, and cultural expectation. 7. Remember AO4. 4 marks for spelling, punctuation, and grammar. Write in clear, accurate, formal English throughout. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. Go back, reread the poem, practice those embedded quotations, and remember, the best responses don't just identify what Garland does, they explore why she does it and what effect it has on the reader. See you next time.